than murdered. All the friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the show. It is The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Any news break today, guys? Have you heard of anything? I got to check in with my buddy Josh and see what happened. Josh, anything big happened today in Ravens world?
Huge. Second time this has happened in 5 years. Ravens have fired offensive coordinator Mark Trestman. As we all know, a lot of fans were calling for his head after this one, or somebody had the blame, and I expected it to happen last night. Even during a press conference, I was waiting for it. But obviously, they had to wait for the logistics to go through, the conversations to have. But yes, offensive coordinator Mark Trestman is out as Baltimore Ravens offensive coordinator. As of this morning, it was a Coach Harbaugh decision. It wasn't a Steve Bisci decision. Coach Harbaugh, he felt that where we were headed in the direction of the offense wasn't going anywhere. Obviously, we've seen that, and we're definitely going to break it down, what we've seen in the game. And his replacement we'll talk about, too, is Marty Mordwig, is stepping in from the quarterback's coach to be a coordinator. But, Brandon, a lot of fans are like, well, it was the game that kind of broke it. But the game yesterday was the straw that broke camel's back, per se, man. I think this was a few games in the making, if not a culmination of that. I mean, last year we'll give him the benefit of the doubt because he had the injuries. Flacco went down. Steve Smith went down. He didn't have Mike Wallace. He didn't have a Dennis Pitta. He didn't have a Ronnie Stanley on offense to work with. Everybody was healthy relatively. I know Stanley was dealing with his issues. We had a couple of zings on offense on Sunday, but still, you got to go with what works. And we've been changing, man. We've added West in the backfield, got rid of Forsett, and now Trestman's gone. So the offense is changing, man.
There is no reason for this offense to look as good as it did to start the game yesterday, and to have them fall off so quickly, not score 1 point offensively in the third or fourth quarter. The second
half, they went scoreless, man.
Non-existent. And like you said, there are lots of guys there that have plenty of talent. Joe Flacco, Dennis Pitta, Steve Smith. Yeah, he got hurt. We'll talk about that later. Mike Wallace, Brashad Perryman, Kamar Aiken, Terrence West, who we've put in the ball into his hands. Some of us did. Mark Trestman did not. But this was, like you said, the straw that broke the camel's back. I definitely agree with that. Harbaugh hates to lose to the Redskins. Have you noticed that trend? Because like whenever the Ravens just show up poorly against the Redskins, I think it's like a team he knows that they can beat and then they don't, heads will roll after that. I mean, he just gets so angry and people get fired the next day. That's an awfully odd trend.
It is. And it's a very odd trend to do. And I'm actually trying to look back right now, if you give me a second, to the 2012 season on that record. But in going over the firing, I mean, it was a combination of things. I mean, dude, Terrence West ran the ball 5 times for 6 yards in the first quarter alone. Dude, we had 70-something rushing yards as a team in the first half, and then we didn't get it. Terrence West finished the day with 95 yards total through through the game. So you're saying he gets 60 through the first quarter, 95 through quarters 3, 2, 3, and 4. I mean, it can't happen. He was gashing, especially on that last drive. He had that big run. And I'm like, where's the running game? And you always said at this day and age, you have to run this up the pass. You don't pass this up the run. The run-to-pass ratio is absurd. You can't throw the ball 45, 50 times on Flacco's arm, dinking and dunking, and the play calling was suspect. We'll break down, obviously, the plays of the game, the field goal and all that, but not even that. It's like some of the play calling. Like, there was a lot of three and outs where it was very, very frustrating to me, man. I was sitting in the stands like, I just can't believe what I'm watching. Like, these are pro athletes. We pay good money to see this, and I'm like, this is the best. I said it right in the stands. I looked at the guy behind me and was like, is this the best product they have right now? I said, this is absurd. They're calling a – all right, the run play, when you're running the ball and you get away from it, don't do a play action and then do a little dump off screen that gets a loss of 4 yards. That doesn't work. The defense was sitting there waiting for it, and I'm like, dude, I knew what you were doing before the defense did, and if I'm sitting there in my seat, what do you think the Redskins defense knows? I mean, it was just absurd, dude, and something's got to happen. I kept saying I call better plays in Madden. I've seen 15-year-old boys call better plays in Madden in a Madden tournament, man. I mean, it's just ridiculous. I mean, you got to go with the flow. You got to go with what works, and if you're not running it, yeah, then abandon it all together and try to mix it up. But when you're doing something, do that well. If this was the New England Patriots, they would have probably ran 300 yards of offense. They wouldn't even – Tom Brady wouldn't even throw it. If this was a Patriots offense – yeah, by Josh McDaniels and Bill Belichick, they would have just kept running it and saying, okay, you're not going to stop it. We're going to run it down your throat and dare you to stop it. But the Ravens, it's like, no, that works. Well, let's try something different because they're going to expect the run, so we're going to pass it 40 times. I'm just at a loss for that, man.
Well, here's the thing, though. Look at how many passes Joe Flacco has had the last couple weeks, and look how much yardage they were able to get. And it doesn't make any sense for throwing it, I think it was like over 40 times, and coming up with only, you know, a couple yards. I mean, apparently Mark Trestman was real big into the short throws, the real short plays, something safe. We saw what happens when Joe does throw it long with Breshad Perriman, who, again, we'll talk about the game a little bit later because there's some problems there too. But Trestman seemed to be very scared to use Joe's arm to its full capacity because.
But what's he scared about, man? Like,
maybe he doesn't trust him. I don't know.
I don't get it. I mean, week one, we just breaking it down the last few weeks. I mean, week one, we've seen a long touchdown pass to Mike Wallace. But what happened? I'm sitting there in the game. I'm like, this is going to be a blowout. And didn't I not say the keys of the game were starting out fast? Did we not discuss that?
Yeah.
And lo and behold, they get the ball on offense first, go right down the field, 75-yard touchdown right to Croc Gilmore. I'm like, oh, my God, this is going to be a 30-10 drubbing. And we score 7 points on that first drive. We score 3 points the rest of the game. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. I'm like, it's sickening. And I can definitely share Flacco's descriptive words and frustrating and embarrassing. And I would never say, as far as embarrassing to be a Ravens fan or embarrassing to be a part of this organization, I'm not going that far ever. Never would. You win as a team, you lose as a team, you lose as a fan base, you win as a fan base. You have to stay with this team through thick and thin. There's not time for fair weather fans. I hate that. But what happens is you got to guys be smarter than that. And when you got you need to have creativity and use the weapons to their advantage. I mean, you have a Perryman out there catching balls now. He's not hurt. You have a Flacco healthy with his knee. You have a line that needs to play better, obviously, but you have a running attack who's running. Terrence West has a revival. Dixon's out there. Pitt is healthy. He's not hurt. Mike Wallace is trying to have a revival. We're trying to send Steve Smith out in the best way possible, and you know he was zinged up, and we'll cover that too. And you have all these weapons that we didn't have last year, and it's just like we look actually worse than the Browns did. I mean, the Browns scored more points on Sunday than we did. I mean, it's just, and the Browns are apparently the worst team in football, and the national media is saying, could they possibly go winless? And here we are at 3-2 with a winning record, and it's atrocious, dude. I mean, there's plenty of teams that – I mean, the Chargers are 1-4, and they're averaging 30 points a game. I mean, obviously, we know their troubles, and they got sneak bitten in the fourth quarter with their woes, and they have their problems. But again, we were 1-4 last year. So, I mean, it is. We're 3-2. We're happy to win those three games to set ourselves up. We can fix it now and win. We have 11 games, but 11 games ago, I love the changes now better than later, but it's, man, it's just got to change. We can't continue like this and play winning football because then it's going to be somebody else taking the fall.
You know, this was an odd, if you remember, this whole hiring and everything was very odd. After Gary Kubiak left, Trestman came in, and it was very late. Remember, Kubiak said that, oh, I would definitely stay with the Ravens. I've gotten some offers. I'm not going anywhere. And it was later than a lot of the hirings and firings that happened in the NFL. So Mark Trestman, he had a 22-year career in the NFL, but there was a lot of talk about how he didn't work well with quarterbacks. He wasn't a good offensive offensive coordinator in Chicago. The people weren't real big fans of him there. So it kind of felt like this was kind of like a forced marriage almost to begin with. And they tried to make it work and it just didn't happen. Obviously, John Harbaugh and Mark Trestman have different ideas of what the offense should do.
Right.
With Justin Forsett being let go last week, they have a new emphasis on the running game. Harbaugh obviously wanted to use that, activating three running backs with Ken Dixon coming back and having him work off some rust. Maybe not get a lot of carries, but at least get on the field a little bit. And then Mark Trestman doesn't run the ball at all. And that was the biggest, like the weirdest thing to me was with the conditions yesterday. It was real windy. I didn't expect the ball to be thrown as much as it was just due to the fact that it was a brisk win coming in there, and you saw what it did, with the first field goal attempt from the Redskins. That ball kind of moved all over the place. So I was like, all right, they're going to run the ball the majority of the day, and then they didn't. And I think Harbaugh got really ticked off about it. I don't think these two got along. Last year, I don't know if you remember this, I think it was the game in Oakland, and Trestman called for a play and was laid off in the game, and he didn't stop the clock or something like that, or maybe he did stop, I forget what it was, but I remember a shot of Harbaugh going like and talking to Trestman and like getting in his face and saying, like, what are you doing? This obviously wasn't working out, and I hate to see anybody lose a job. It affects that person, their family, all of that, but obviously this wasn't going to work, and now with this new guy coming in, he's got a lot of experience, and I think it's very interesting that Harbaugh and this new guy, they actually work together in Philadelphia, so there's already a relationship there, and this guy's bringing a lot of knowledge because he's been with the NFL for a long time.
Yeah, he has. I mean, he was offensive coordinator, speaking of Marty, at the Jets. He was offensive coordinator there as well. He's got some experience, man. I mean, he's been with Philly. He's been on some staffs. He was actually part of the 96 Super Bowl year when I believe it was 96, if my year served me well. Getting old, dude, getting old. But I'm trying to recall. I think it was the Packers who won that Super Bowl. Yeah, because the Broncos won it 97-5, I believe. So, yeah, and he was on that staff with Brett Favre. So he has a great resume. He's been with Harbaugh a few years, coming from Philly, and he was with Andy Reid. Andy Reid's a great ball coach, too, in his own respect. So his resume speaks for itself. I think it's a breath of fresh air. I hear he's going to do double duties, also quarterback coach, but then due to coordinating. But here's another intricate part of the story is everybody was asking on Sports Talk today, where's Harbaugh on the sidelines during the game? Why doesn't he have his handprint on, go over to Mark and say, hey, you need to fix this, or hey, why don't we run the ball more, what happened? And I don't know on the sidelines. I'm not down there, obviously. Don't know what was said or if he came over, but we need Harbaugh to go over there and take the reins. If something's not working, he's the head coach. I don't know what responsibilities are, and I would love to dive into this one day when you're an offensive defensive coordinator, where do your authorities, where's the line drawn between where the head coach steps in? Because where's the head coach have that responsibility? I know some of the head coaches who've called plays before. I think Mike Marks, believe me or not, back in when the St. Louis Rams were the greatest show on turf, now the L.A. Rams. Mike McCarthy up in Green Bay, he's called plays before as a head coach, and I've seen some of that before. Not to say it's going to get to that level of Harbaugh doing it, but I know Harbaugh's making the changes now. He's going to have an input to some extent on the sidelines. Another thing I'd like to see Marty do is get out of the booth where he was, come down on the field. That's how you truly coach. Get in the players' faces, get a feel for the game live down on the sideline. You can't coach from a booth. You can't be – it's like CEO coaching, I call it, Brandon. It's you're going to sit up top in your high rise and try to coach. No, you need to get down in the fray with the team. A welcoming change, Marty Morgenweg promises, and I really can't wait to see what this change brings on two road games coming up here. And if we can just start small, get the 4-2, then 5-2, and build to the bye, I think we'll be okay. We have two really teams. We'll cover that in the Purple Friday preview. But we have a good team coming in here. We're going up to the Giants. So we're going to test this theory in the offense, but and something's got to change. And boy, does something got to change quick, man. I'm happy this happened. And we're gonna see it firsthand. We're gonna see it. And I did break down, by the way. I looked 2012. We had a 3-game losing streak, obviously, to the end of the year. The Redskins. You asked about that, and the Redskins were the second of that third losses. After that second loss, we went to 9-4. We changed coordinators. Went to Jim Caldwell. Jim Caldwell's first game was that 34-17 loss to the Broncos, and then we won against the Giants at home to solidify the division win. So it was the last time that we fired offensive coordinator in the midseason. Number one, we lost to the Redskins, even though it was there, not here. Two, we did win the Super Bowl. Everybody's putting that onus out there. Last time, it's fun to talk about, but while it happened, it remains to be seen. We have 11 games to go to make the playoffs and make a goal of that happening, to get inside the dance and into the playoffs to even make noise. But let's start small. Let's start off with build upon this week. We have to play the Giants on the road on Sunday. We're 3-2. You are regular as you are. We started all three straight wins. But I look at this point, Brandon. We're playing close games. We've played three close games. We won three of them, and we've lost two. Simple as that.
All right, let me play devil's advocate here a little bit. Let me start off.
Of course, you would.
I have to. I mean, that's what we talk about here. I agree with Mark Trestman being let go. Obviously, it was not working. However, how much of the blame for the way the Ravens have played the last two seasons falls on John Harbaugh? Because look at how many offensive coordinators this guy has been through. Obviously, a lot of guys do
5 in 5 years.
Right. That's a lot in his tenure. Obviously, though, it's not all him, because people get better offers. They become head coaches. So, I mean, that's just the evolution of pretty much any place that employs people, is that you want to move up to a better position. But what is it about John Harbaugh that he can't hold on to an offensive coordinator? Or is it Joe Flacco? What is it about this team and this organization and this coaching staff that makes that spot so hard to fill?
It's a great question, but I'm going to dispel that a little bit by playing the other devil's advocate counteroffer. How's this? Flacco and Harbaugh and the Ravens have adapted to change. Apart from last season where we went 5-11 because we had those major injuries and Flacco got done, we've made the playoffs most of those years, if not. Apart from the year, like I said, from last year, we made the playoffs in virtually every season. And we even have a Super Bowl title in there, and we had a Super Bowl title in that coaching change in mid-year. So they handle it well, but you're right. Does it branch off from there, and is it deeper than just a new coordinator issue? Is it a Harbaugh issue? But Harbaugh's tenured. He's not going anywhere. His job is he's not a hot seat, I would say, yet. If there's a continuing trend, there would be a question. But listen, you know, Bisciotti, that was a great hire by Bisciotti. If Harbaugh wins another game as a head coach, he surpasses Brian Billick for most of the head coaching. We've only had three head coaches in the 20 plus years we've been a franchise. If no one really understands that, that says a lot. Tim Archibald, Brian Billick, and John Harbaugh. So we're not those coaches or these teams out there that lose, have a losing season, go hire a head coach, don't let them get in the system, and it's, oh, well, we went 4-12 or 4-12, you suck, I'm going to fire you, hire another guy. You need time to get them used to the system, and see, we have that happen. But we also got blessed because we had Harbaugh as a rookie, Joe Flacco as a rookie, and Ray Rice as a rookie carry us to an AFC title game in Pittsburgh, and then we just had success built upon that. But it could be an underlying issue, but I don't think it's a Flacco or Harbaugh issue at this point, because they've shown success. Flacco's led game-winning drives. He's a Super Bowl MVP. He's got wins under his belt. He's had the success. So I can sit here and go through a whole laundry list and do another podcast about how many the comeback wins that Flacco's led us on, or the throws he's made, and no other quarterback would do that. And we have to be proud of him as a quarterback. And John Harbaugh, lately he's made some coaching blunders, but still one great ball coach, man. I mean, and it's kind of funny how this business works, man, and how this goes, because wasn't it like, what, 2 or 3 weeks ago, Flacco's like, we're bosses. We play like bosses, like a boss. And then now he's throwing out words like frustrating and embarrassing. So just show you how brutal it is out there in the NFL to win and lose games, man, because we're riding high 3-0 and we're like a boss, and now we're 3-2 going, okay. But here's the thing. 5 weeks in, we're 3-2, a game out of first place. We're 3-2, 5 games in, and we're one game behind from the best record to AFC. So, I mean, Patriots are 4-1, Steelers are 4-1. So let's just call it what it is, and let's just keep winning football, playing game after game, and let's see what happens in the next 4, 5, 6 weeks and see where we set up. But the change is good now. Let's build upon it. That's what I like to see, and I can't wait. Breaking this down, man, there's a lot of pros and cons about this game, but coaching, I wanted to break it down to. You saw it on TV, because I actually didn't really observe the lineup, because I'd actually have to go back and watch the replay on TV, because here's the thing, and everybody, and no one faults me for doing this, but you know how accurate and automatic Justin Tucker is right, Brandon.
Right.
So when the Ravens got that turnover, they should have put it in for seven, but they didn't. So in lining up for a field goal when they were bringing the field goal unit out, I took that time as, okay, they're going to kick the field goal. They're going to probably take a timeout, kick it off. I'm going to use this time to go use the restroom because I don't like doing it, you know, at any other time to wait because I'll waste time waiting 30 minutes in line. As I'm going down the stairs, I turn the corner, like literally turn the corner, and I hear everybody groaning, and I'm like, I ran back out in the tunnels. Like, what happened? I had to actually watch the replay on the vision and watch it at home. But from what I hear, I'm like, you can't go for it. But I want to hear your perspective because on TV, did you notice they were lined up differently?
Oh, 100%. You could tell. That was one of the biggest boneheaded moves that Harbaugh has gone for through his entire tenure here with the Baltimore Ravens. You could tell from you know, I live 15 minutes away from the stadium. You could tell, you know, 15 minutes away from the stadium that Justin Tucker was not lined up to kick that ball. Everyone knows the leg that he uses. I mean, it's very evident that the way he was standing, where he was, the way he was lined up, that he was not going to kick that ball. That was just a terrible call. I don't understand why you go for something like that. That made absolutely no sense. I understand that you're trying to get as many points as you can. You're trying to throw the team off, you know, keep them on their toes. But this was just blatant. I mean,
ill time, man. Blatant and right. And that's what I was wanting to break down, because if it's that blatant on TV, I don't know what they were thinking at that point, man, because you play all these close games, okay? You play all these close games, you got to take the points. I can understand if it was like 4th and 1 from the half-inch line and they wanted to try to punch it in and got stuffed or did something stupid, okay. But you take the points there and put it up 7 because obviously hindsight 2020, because we already know Mosley didn't get in. We already know that Perryman didn't catch the winning touchdown. So at that point, being down 6, we could have essentially been down 3, kicked a chip shot to tie the game and sent it in overtime. But because of that, everything's magnified. When you do that, yeah, at that time we weren't thinking about, oh, well, that's going to come down to it. But I said it when I got back, when I sat there and was like talking to everybody about it. I said, that play is going to lose us the game because it's going to come down to a game-winning kick. I know it is. And the way we've been playing, we covered it again and again. The Ravens haven't had a blowout win since December 28th, 2014. Why is that going to change today against the Redskins? That's what I was saying. So don't like that there. You kind of got fooled yourself there. And I know Harbaugh standing beside his decision. I like that play if we're up 20 points. We did it in the Super Bowl, I think, when we were still up big, and we almost converted a first down out of it. Tucker was 1 yard short from running it there. So I like those plays when you're trying to catch them off guard or when you're up big against these teams, and you're like, okay, let's just play a little bit of play with something. But when you're up only 4 points and you're playing the kind of football and you're playing away from the running game and playing into the opponent's hands and playing down to them, you don't do that. I wholly disagree with that. It was atrocious and ultimately could have cost us a game. And you can't really say that because obviously a kick sent us over time. You don't know what happens, you know. But when it comes down to it, we could have had an attempt to go in overtime. So disagree with that wholeheartedly. That was a wrong move to play it there.
Besides that, there was a terrible time management going into halftime where they took a wasted a timeout and they have 1 second left and they go for a play and all that happens is Joe Flacco gets sacked. I don't even understand why you don't just knee the ball, spike the ball or whatever and call it a day and go into the locker room. That made no sense to me at all.
No, and then also there, you don't want to play scared, but you never know if an injury happens on something stupid when you could have just knelt it going in the tunnel. I mean, you're not gaining anything by trying to get a playoff or going – because you're not looking to score. You're giving up your rights to score, and you're giving up your hope there. So you're like, let's just call it is, take a knee, spike the ball. Let's just, you know, run around the back and throw it incomplete, and let's just call it at half. But a couple blunders there and some of the time management I thought was ill for. But at the end of the game, I like the fact that you have to give kudos and hats off to this defense, man. If you want to take anything positive away from this ugly loss, this is what it is. The defense stepped up. Special teams was atrocious, and we'll cover that too because they gave a touchdown. But it all in all, as bad as Jimmy Smith got burned on that touchdown, the Garcon and everything else, and as bad as we looked on pass defense, when the Redskins were driving like at least three separate occasions in the fourth quarter, third and fourth quarter, and it was still 16-10. All they do is kick a field goal. A touchdown would have put us away completely. Like, it would have been game over. You know, you could have pretty much called it. But if they'd have kicked a field goal, it kind of would have pretty much put us out of any concept of winning because we weren't moving the ball. But they stepped up and stopped them and got the Ravens the ball back in position to put us down the win. And ultimately they did. Flacco and a two-minute offense, they went right down the field, boom, boom, boom. And before I know it, we're 25, 30 yards away from the score. And you have to give kudos to that. I give kudos to that final drive, apart from the last few play calls, and the defense for giving us a chance. One turning point in the game, actually two, and we already know the Mosley fumble in the end zone. I want to cover that too. I know he's trying to make a play. I know you have to hold on to the football. Everybody's blaming him for that. He's owned up to it. But again, a defender who doesn't handle the ball well, yes, we're football players and you're taught to hold on to football, but how often does a linebacker of his stature intercept the ball and run it back and tries to make a play? It's not like it's like a Terrence West going for a touchdown. It's not even Flacco going for it. It's not like a Mike Wallace or a Steve Smith or Dennis Pitt and someone reaching for the touchdown. It's, guys, you do this on a daily basis. It's C.J. Mosley. Now, I'm not saying I'm not defending him and bail him out saying it because he's a defender, but you have to think about that too. He doesn't do this often. So him trying to make a play, I give him an A for effort for that because he was trying to make the game, basically the game-winning score, put us ahead because it could have changed the momentum. But you're right. You got to take care of the football, and you can't do that in that man right there. I mean, but we're talking about a bounce either way. The ball bounces to the left of the pylon. It's first and goal on the one. Apparently, it just bounced the other way and went right into the end zone. It sucks, but can't take it back. But it was a great athletic play from Mosley, and you can't take that away from him. It was a great snag.
It was a great snag. However, you know, you hate to see the way that play ended, and it was so confusing because I thought, all right, he didn't get the touchdown, but we'll get to the 1 yard line, we'll be fine. But it's a touchback, and the Redskins get a 20 yard gain because of that. I mean, just,
and it happened in the college game. If anybody's watched college football, I think it happened in the Tennessee Texas A&M game where it actually did. The guy was running and he lost handle of the football on the one and it went right back out of the end zone. And I'm like, oh, he fumbled it. And if everybody remembers, Deshaun Jackson did it it's kind of ironic that he played for the Redskins in the same game, but Deshaun Jackson did it with the Eagles. He was showboating and dropped the ball right for the end zone and went right in the end zone for a touchback because you have to have possession. The rule of the NFL is everybody's like, well, if the Ravens were the last possession, it should be first and goal on the one, not a touchback, because I can understand if they recovered it. No, if they had recovered it, if the Redskins would have recovered it, it's still a touchback anyway, but that's the rule. If the ball is fumbled out of the back of the end zone, it's a touchback no matter what it is. It's for all 32 NFL teams. That's the NFL rule. It's always been like that since day one. I don't think it's ever changed. I don't know when the rules are written, obviously, and you know, they never quote me on that, but I don't know any time from recent memory that rule has changed. So you got holding the football, and another one was, if you recall, our special teams, when they gave up that touchdown, I kind of knew that was it because the Redskins weren't moving the ball. We weren't moving the ball apart from the first drive. That special teams touchdown, we're just bad on coverages, whether it's blocking for our guys to return or whether it's trying to get to the other guys returning it against us. It was just bad all around. And he went right up the seam and went right past us. And he was just off to the races.
Special teams is definitely, I mean, everything. Even though the defense is, you know, or at least before this game, was ranked number one in the NFL, right. I mean, there are concerns all over the place. Special teams is definitely one of them. We saw Devin, because that's Dave Hester's the guy from Storage Wars. That's a good show. It's a good show, though. At least it was. Devin Hester, he dropped the ball a couple games ago. We saw these guys not be able to block anything. So there's definitely some concern there. My biggest concern, though, is Breshad Perriman. He's finally healthy. It's taken him a while to get there, but with towards the end of that game, that ball was in his hands. You know, that could have been the game winner. I'm not talking about the one where he had 1 foot out of bounds. This was going down the field, stretching the field, getting closer to the end zone. Joe Flacco threw that ball. You got to catch that ball. Joe is sending it to you perfectly. I mean, it was picture perfect. That would be like the play of the week for the NFL Network or something like that. He worries me because this was one of the things in college, besides him kind of being injury prone, is the fact that he doesn't have the best hands. But Breshad Perriman, to me, he's still a very big question mark about how much faith you can put in him.
You're right, man, and I couldn't agree with you more on that point. I mean, but you got to keep going to him. I mean, technically, it's his first year. You kind of have to give him the benefit of the doubt on the other side of the coin there and get him up to speed. It's not like he's a third or fourth year in the league, and it's like, okay, we haven't seen anything in 3 years, dude. You know, let's go. You know, this is his fifth NFL full game, and obviously without being hurt. So, but he's out there making plays. He has some good catches out there, but he's got to get his foot down. You got to get it down, man. And I mean, and you got to catch. I mean, there were some, you know, Kamari Aiken drops. There were some Mike Walsh drops. So it's not just him, but it's everybody else has to be accountable. But I give Perriman the benefit of doubt in getting up speed. And now that he has a new coordinator, hopefully they'll infuse some of his speed and some of his quickness in there. And he just needs to catch the ball, get more handsy on that ball. And I really can't wait to see how that impacts him in this new change of regime and the offensive coordinator. But I'm not going to ride him just yet. I'll give it to the end of the year to make a full year's assessment on him. It's technically his rookie year, so you can't be too hard on the guy.
That's true. So, Josh, have we covered everything for this Red Eye review?
Well, Brandon, let me tell you this. Give him the rock because we need to run this one north, south, east, and Terrence West. Just give him the ball, guys. Just give him the rock. Give him the rock. Run the rock.
And maybe we can smell what the rock is cooking. Next game.
If you smell a 3-2 record. No, again, man. I mean, we're 3-2. It is what it is, and we'll leave it at that. And let's just leave this one in where it is in the ugly category. And we always say we like to win ugly, but boy, do we lose ugly on this one.
That's very true. So, guys, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. All you have to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCast. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
Always at ItalianGQ52.
All right, go to BrandoCash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need. Then go to Facebook.com/TheCallPodcast, like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you will be the first to know. And we do this show for free. Leave us an iTunes review. Let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Vine and Reddit and Snapchat and Pokemon Go and any other place you are social with your phone on the web. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, the Baltimore Sports Report Network, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. You should also listen to it. You know, the Ravens, they are on the mend. We made some big changes. The Call's got me ready. They're going to get me ready on the Purple Friday preview for those Giants. But for now, Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you so much, man. This has been great to cover this one. And let me tell you guys, dark days, man. It's two in a row, especially at home. It sucks. I know, guys, it sucks. But can never be down being Ravens fans, man, because we've been there. We've been through some dark days. You got to be proud of this franchise. We're still a world-class franchise. Everybody wants to come here to win because we're a winning organization. I mean, we do it right. And we're making the changes accordingly, guys. We got our early Christmas wish present right on Monday morning. We were all talking on Sunday night. We need to call for his head, and we got it. We got our wish. Trestman is gone. I wish him the best. You never want to see people lose their jobs and get fired, but this is the business. You know, Forsett we had to release. He's looking for new employment. He'll hopefully find one. And if Mark does or doesn't, we wish him the best. But we got to win, guys, and we got to use the guys we have to use in their full capacity to move forward in the best way, in the best manner. And what it comes down to is accountability. And we know what that means. And it means you got to do your jobs well. Guys, lick your wounds. It's going to be okay. Pick your heads up. Nothing to be ashamed about. We're only one game out of first place. We're 3-2. Winning side of football, winning record. Two road games to go. Let's rest it up. Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high this week.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.
The Call is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.